more.
It really takes someone that has the gift of compassion and empathy to really fill those shoes. Because not everybody's cut out for that. You know who to call and who not to call.
Welcome to Mom Life Community, where we are mothers uplifting mothers. I'm your co-host, Heather Houlet. Mom Life Community is a cross-generational community where we follow a Titus 2:4 model. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Having shared that, I'm joined today by my co-host, Helen Smallbone, along with seven other mentor moms. This week, we are talking about grief, losing someone you love. Welcome, mentors. You know, death will affect us all at some point, whether it be the death of a friend, a parent, spouse, or as hard as it gets, even a child. And at difficult times like this, I don't know how people live without an eternal perspective that life doesn't end at death. It's so encouraging that Jesus knows our pain. And I want to ask you today, mentors, did you find it hard in the natural to be able to stick to biblical truths of eternity? Or did you find yourselves angry at God or someone else? And how did you walk through that?
So when I was 17, I accepted Jesus into my heart for the first time. And 6 months later, my father was actually murdered. So I was an only child. And I found myself looking up to heaven and questioning God. I mean, we all say at different times in our life, why God? But I said it with a great deal of anger and bitterness. I did not have a foundation of faith at that point in time. So I was truly at that crossroads, and I was very, very angry at God because I knew enough to know that whether or not he took my father from me, he could have prevented it. And it caused a great deal of anger. And because of it, I walked away from Jesus for many, many years. I don't recommend that to anyone.
Thanks, Rhonda.
My mom passed away about 5 years ago now. She was 93. And she'd lived a hard life. And at the end, she'd had a stroke. Eternity became so much more real to me, watching this natural, sitting at my mother's side, seeing this really natural process that we don't like thinking about, we don't like talking about, but to sit there with her and sing over her and to reassure her that heaven is real was reassuring me that heaven was real. Because I knew that my mom loved Jesus, and I knew that he was there in the room, and I knew that she was going to be dancing any minute now. So the grieving is so much different when we're able to embrace death as a crossing over rather than something being snatched away. Because it's true, a sudden death can feel very much like you're being robbed. You know, something has been being snatched. What I experienced with my mom was a supernatural, very human process that I'll never forget. And I grew as a result of it. Mm. So I grew good. In my faith.
So good. Thanks, Jackie.
Well, I had a situation where I certainly felt like something was snatched from me. I married into a family of believers, and my faith in Christ really grew as I learned from my mother and father-in-law, my husband, and the whole family. And my father-in-law was getting ready to retire. He had been a Christian singer for over 50 years on the road. And that year they were planning on retiring, and he was diagnosed with cancer and gone 5 weeks later. Wow. And I watched that beautiful family. I watched my mother-in-law just stand in her living room with her hands raised and just crying out to God. And we all prayed, and I believed God was going to heal him on earth. I truly believed that, and I waited for it, and I waited for it, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen that way. And I remember thinking, God, if you wouldn't heal him on earth, somebody like me has no chance. Mm-hmm. And I went through a hard time. Our son was 2, and I felt like, you know, his father-in-law, he was just 72. He was very young. And I remember the hurt. But my mother-in-law was so strong in her faith and just her walk with the Lord. She, watching her and watching her faith not wither away, and the talks she would have with me, and she explained to me, God heals away from this earth. He heals when we pass away, and his plan, for whatever reason that we don't understand, his healing to be in heaven with Christ and with God. I was able to walk through that with God, but, you know, she encouraged me to talk to God about it. And, you know, and I did tell God, I'm angry. I miss him. I don't want him gone. Why did you, you know? And God knew how I was thinking anyways, but it was good for me to have that feeling that God loved me enough to hear me and that he was going to comfort me and take our family through this. But it is hard, I believe, when you feel like it's just doesn't seem fair, you know, that they served God their whole life and ready for retirement. It seemed so unfair.
It seemed untimely.
Yes, untimely.
Not for on our time scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wasn't in our time plan, for sure.
When my grandfather died, I was 18, and I was not walking hand in hand with Jesus at the time. And I was very angry, and I was very demonstrative with my anger. And so then fast forward to 12 years ago when my mother died, and I was walking hand in hand with Jesus. I was able to process that so much more differently. Losing your mom is a hard thing. Mm-hmm. But when you know that they're going to spend eternity with the King in that moment, and you're going to see them again, and really that they're home, then you can be okay. It's not easy, but you know the reality of their future, of your future. And so I'm grateful to be at a place, to have been at a place when my mom died, that I knew that. I don't know how I would have gotten through the next moment.
I experienced, we did foster care, and it was always so hard when our kids left. And one of our earlier placements, it was just a difficult situation of not knowing where she was going and having so little control over, you know, what would happen with her. And I remember one day just crying out to God and just so angry and hurt and unsure of what was going to happen. And I opened up my Bible, and I was just like, God, you've got to speak to me. And I was flipping through, and I would read a verse, and I would be like, this is doing nothing for me. And it came to Psalm 128 and just felt compelled to read through it. I was reading through it, and I was like, this is still doing nothing for me, God. And I got to Psalm 128, and it says, the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And it was the first time that I had experienced like that true comfort from God in the moment of knowing that he saw things that I didn't, and that he loved her more than I did, and that he would be there for her and protect her. But man, there were so many different types of grief.
It's so hard in losing someone, and kind of like you talked about, Lori, just the timeliness of it. And I shared a little bit in the previous episode about my grandfather's death. It was unexpected. It came the week of my wedding. We were on opposite coasts. I realized we here on earth are the ones who are grieving. It's us, but they're where we're all can't wait to be. They're dancing, like you said, Sue, they're dancing with Jesus. And it's us, because we live in this sinful, fallen world, and there is grief. for me, with that timeliness, you know, that turned into, I was getting married in a couple of days. My mom had already flown out to California. Like, people were out there. The rest of the family that wasn't coming, you know, because the funeral, just all that stuff. And since have lost aunts and uncles. I lost a cousin at a young age that drowned. I lost a baby in utero. And I think in our sinful nature, it's almost like, am I really going to see them again? You know, it's the enemy that can creep into our grief. But realizing at the end of the day that I have to say, do I trust God? Do I trust you, God? Do I trust that your ways are better? Your plan is better? You're already in the result of everything. And that's really been helpful for me walking through different stages of grief that come up is really, God, do I trust you or not? Do I trust you? Do I trust what your word says? And it's so comforting to me.
I agree, Heather. I mean, from the beginning of time, if we look at God's word, it's all he's ever wanted is for us to trust him.
Yeah.
I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. So do you trust that his plans are good?
Yeah.
I mean, God, it says you will have trials and tribulations on this earth.
You will.
And I mean, there's no question. It doesn't say you might. It says you will. And so do I trust you, Lord? Even when I don't understand, do I trust you that your plans are good?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that scripture too that instructs us not to grieve like unbelievers. And so God is acknowledging that grief is real. And when my mom passed, it's like I'd never lost anybody before. So, and there's something really primal about grief that you don't really even know. You don't know how to do it. You don't know when it's going to be over. I would just encourage people to be patient with themselves through the grieving process. And not to feel like they're supposed to do it a certain way, or they better suck it up, or they better numb out in some other way. Everybody grieves differently. There's no instruction book for it. It's different whether you're grieving for someone who's a loved one who's passed or a divorce. I mean, grief is a natural part of life. Having Jesus to walk with us through it is the only antidote, really.
Yeah, so good. Grieving is a process, and it comes in waves, sometimes when we least expect it, and it can come in waves over days or months or years. You know, sometimes we never lose that. You know, it can be 20 years later and we feel a bit of grief come on. There's different stages, and sometimes it will hit us at the most unexpected times. And we just feel like we need a good cry or a hug or somebody to just be there to remember with us. And so what I want to ask you today, mentors, is what do you do and how have you navigated when that grief starts to rise up again?
I give myself permission to do it. There are those who would say, aren't you done with that yet? Hasn't it been long enough yet? Haven't you gotten over that yet? And obviously, either they haven't walked through grief well.
because you really don't ever get over grief, right? You learn to live.
You learn to live a different way.
Yeah.
It does transition. But there are those little things that'll come up that do bring it up again, and I give myself permission to do that. I remind myself that Jesus grieved. And if he did it, by golly, I can do it. And he grieved even though he knew he was going to heal his friend. And he grieved anyway. Guess what? I get to, too.
Jesus wept, the shortest verse of the Bible, but he
so powerful.
Understood what it was to lose. And to see other people grieving, and he wept with his friends, even as you say, that he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. It's quite a beautiful statement about the God that we serve, that he understands. He understands our pain.
And he knows what heaven's like. That's very powerful.
Oftentimes, people who can't relate say nothing at all because they don't know what to say. What do you want to hear most from others while you're grieving?
I think sometimes just presence is important. I mean, I lost a younger brother suddenly, I lost my mother suddenly, and lost my father to a more extended illness. But there's sometimes just no words. Mm-hmm. Just having someone physically present to be there with you and know that you're just, you need to feel what you feel at that moment.
Did you feel, Michelle, because you've lost several people in your close nuclear family at different stages of your life, did you ever feel like people were distant from you? Maybe because they didn't know how to be there for you in your grief? Did you feel like there was a lack of people? Because I feel like sometimes people say nothing at all. They don't appear. There's no presence of them with the fear of hurting someone's feelings or not getting it right, not knowing what to say. Did you find that at all when you lost those that you loved?
I think people were very, there was a lot of people in the beginning, like the first week or so. Mm. And then, of course, there's a quick drop off. Mm. But so I found that. But I also found that it was also hard, like, because people try so hard. They want so much to be able to help and make you feel better. And so they might, like, say things to try to shut down the emotion. And they certainly don't mean to. I knew all three of my loved ones were in heaven, but I was still hurting. And so you know that right at that moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, celebrate that for them. That doesn't mean that I'm not hurting right at that moment.
I like how you refer to presence, because my pastor once told me that there is such a thing as the ministry of presence. Mm-hmm. And it really takes someone that has the gift of compassion and empathy to really fill the seat or fill those shoes, that space of presence. Because not everybody's cut out for that. It's hard to just sit with somebody just for extended periods of time, you know? So I've learned to also appreciate those that have that special gift of empathy and compassion. You know who to call and who not to call, you know?
I like that presence, because there aren't words. And no matter what someone says, no matter how well-intended it is, you don't want to hear it because you're hurting. I remember when I had a miscarriage and someone sent me flowers, and it was a kind thing. And all I could think of was, thanks so much for the flowers for my dead baby. That's how I felt on the inside. So to have someone just be with you, don't have to say anything.
I think it's such a hard thing because of that. Things like that example right there, where people shy away because they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do and or say. And just that, you're saying the presence, just being there.
The type A's can't fix it.
No, they can't.
they want to fix it. They can't fix it.
And maybe those type A's end up saying stuff to fill the void, but the stuff actually is more hurtful than if they just sat and said nothing, because they can't. You're right, they can't fix it. I've lost both my parents, and being on the other side of the world, God was very gracious to me in that I was actually present and able for my mum to, she had cancer, and to die at home. I was able to be with her to enable her to die at home. Otherwise, she would have been in a hospital, which she did not wish to do. And for my dad, I was able to go back and say goodbye as well. So I had, I was able to grieve well and healthily, I think, for both of them. They had lived their lives very full, very meaningfully. I knew they were going to heaven. It was, and I was comforted by the fact that I was able to say goodbye to both of them. I saw another side of grief, though, with my husband. We arrived in America in 1991, and then in 1993, his father went in for fairly routine surgery and ended up getting pneumonia and was dead within a week. And younger, for starters, it's harder, I think, in our minds sometimes to rationalize the goodbyes when you still feel there's life that needs to be lived. And then he was not able to go home because of financial reasons as well as immigration reasons. He never got to say goodbye and to be with his family through the grieving process as well. And maybe it seemed a little unreal because you're on the other side of the world. You know, you haven't actually seen him in that scenario. But he carried, and in a way still carries. I mean, we're looking at, you know, nearly, what, 30 years on. There's a grief in him that's never been totally resolved because he wasn't able to walk the journey in a healthy manner. And so I think for me, death is not something to run away from. Mm-hmm. It needs actually to be lived and experienced. I think it helps us as we get onto the other side to look at life differently, you know, what's really valuable and what's sort of the fluff of life, as well as to make the best of the relationships that we have, because we frankly never know whether we're going to see any of the ones that we love again. I also learnt something very different, sort of surprising in a way, but in that when we did get to go home, I think we went home in 1994, 1995, but somewhere in there. So it was a good 12 months at least, probably, from when he died. David was able to see the grave, be able to hug his mum. And again, that physical content of being able to hug someone or touch, so important. But then she said a really interesting thing, how healing it had been for her to have his presence again with her, because she said nobody talks about him anymore. And the fact that you're here now and that you want to talk about him and that you're sharing stories of what he meant in your life, it's so healthy for me because I want to see him living on. I know he's not living on here physically, but I want to see him living on in people's lives and being remembered. And that showed me another side of death that I don't think I really understood until that moment, of the need to recognize the impact of someone's life on either you or shared loved ones, and to be able to talk about the person. I think in terms of creating a healthy grieving process. So I don't shy away from tears now. I don't shy away from actually talking about and celebrating somebody's life. And I don't shy away from death, because death, we can't live life without death. It's just the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Like it's a part of life. And the more we hide it from our families, from our children, from even our own mind, I think something changes in our mentality when we don't live with death as a presence.
So good. And you brought up a great point of, you know, their memory living on. And something I've learned, I'd say in the past maybe 5 or 6 years or so, because so often I would, you know, as a younger adult, feel like I wouldn't want to bring them up because it could cause them to be sad. You know, I didn't want to bring up a name. And what I've learned is people want you to bring this person up. They want to hear a story that you remember about them. They want you to ask questions about what they were like if you had never met them. And that was so eye-opening to me, and something I keep, you know, in the forefront of my mind instead of running from it or not saying something, asking questions. And I mean, I love that when people ask me about my grandfather. Like, I tell them, oh, he used to sing songs in Italian and he had these, you know, all these things. It's exciting to talk about those people and to keep their memory, who my children never got to meet him. And I never imagined that they wouldn't get to meet him. But to have his memory and people to ask about him, I love that. I love that. Well, Munters, I have one more question for you today. And I want to ask you, how has losing someone you love changed your relationships and the way that you live?
Helen said it just a minute ago. We don't know that we're going to see each other tomorrow. We don't know that we're going to see our family member for Christmas. So living today as if it's the last day, and it sounds very trite and whatever. But it's right. It's true. Today matters. Goodbye matters. I love you matters.
Living with that eternal mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me. Mm-hmm. Matters.
I think like what Sue is saying, I mean, just the things just aren't as important. Like the little things aren't important. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it's taught me. I mean, mm-hmm. So yeah. Forgiveness.
My sons are men now. And it's important to me to be able to talk about when I go, you know, this, that, and the other, you know, which makes them really uncomfortable. Yeah. But you need to know, you know, we don't need a fancy, expensive casket. We don't have to do that. You know, just being more free to talk about it and teach them this is a reality and heaven is real, and so it's okay, rather than that it being shrouded in, you know, let's just not ever talk about that. Because so I think that, you know, walking it, watching my mother cross over made it so much more real to me. You know, walking with her, holding her hand through that made it so much more real to me and less scary. I want my sons to know that there are no unrealistic expectations on my part.
I think that makes a difference, though, too, is when there is a peace on both sides, you
That's
know,
right.
and a belief and acceptance of the Holy Spirit and knowing that you'll see each other again. And that's why I say I don't know how people grieve.
Without the Lord.
Without the Lord. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, thank you, mentors, for joining us today.
I just wanted to add, think we need to love, I think we've sort of said it, but we need to love well.
Yes.
And I think, I don't know whether Sue or whether it was you that said, we need to say I love you.
Mm.
You know, we need to let people know that they're loved, that they're prized. And I think it's a huge principle to live life with no regret.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you live life with no regret, you're living, I think, with an eternal perspective,
mm-hmm.
as well as you're making the relationships that are in your life right today. You're not waiting for tomorrow. I don't know, max out life today, particularly relationally. Yeah, we can't take our stuff. It's all about relationships, mm-hmm. which is why I think, you know, the two commandments are love God and to love others, because we can't, that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the stuff, the things that often we distract us and we put importance in, none of it matters. We can't take any of it with us. But we can take love with us. There's a Bible verse that says, fix our eyes on the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are temporary and are going to pass away. And I've thought about that verse. So what is unseen?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, we might have, we've got a whole spiritual realm that surrounds us that is unseen. But God, for whatever reason, doesn't really want us to see this because we're in a temporal world. So what else is unseen? You know what it is? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness. Those things are the things that are unseen. And so for me, to live life without regret means I'm going to live as best I can in a very human and very failed way, because I'm a sinner. But to live with those principles of the fruit of the Spirit, because those are the principles that are eternal.
And we've experienced that with my husband. He has terminal cancer and he's been sick for 7 years. And in some ways that's been hard, but in other ways it's been a sweet gift to be able to say all the things and do the things. And when he does go, I try to be ever mindful of, we just went back to California for him to visit family because his cancer numbers have gone back up, and to just be mindful of doing the things, saying the things in the moment, so that when they do pass, you don't have those regrets and you don't have that any unforgiveness or whatever. So it's been a sweet gift to be able to have that perspective of knowing he's going to go. Sudden death is so difficult, but being able to take the time and to say the things and things that we wouldn't have thought to say otherwise. You know, you just kind of, I don't know, you always think you'll have time to say things, you know.
For you, Mom, listening, who maybe hasn't had a chance to listen to our previous episode, I want to encourage you to go back and listen. But we also talked about losing someone we love doesn't always necessarily mean that they have passed on to heaven. Sometimes they're still here. And sometimes we have to grieve what was. We have to grieve a relationship. Sometimes there is mental health. Sometimes there is unforgiveness. Sometimes there is just a change in who people are and they choose to live a different lifestyle without you in it. And so grief can also be losing someone, grieving what was and accepting what is of that person, even though they're still here physically. Have you, any of you mentors experienced that?
I experienced it with my mother when the onset of her dementia and her Alzheimer's. And it is a grief. It's I missed the talks. Mm-hmm. And even though we still talked, it wasn't the kind of talk that I would like to have with her. Fortunately, she knew who I was still until she passed. And that was great. I will say, I talked about earlier, when my father-in-law passed, I was young, and I watched more from a distance, and I prayed from a distance. But when my mom passed away last year, I crawled up in that bed with her. Mm-hmm. I held her. I loved her. I talked in her ear. I played her favorite songs on my iPhone. I played Blessed Assurance was her favorite song forever, and I sang to her, and I loved her. And it goes back to what Helen said. You know, hopefully, I did better. As I knew better, I did better. I loved on her, and she knew she was loved. Mm. But it's tough. Grief can be very tough. But I feel good about how I loved her when she was dying.
Living with no regrets.
Heather, to your point, literally when I was on my way here, there was a friend that I knew from many years ago that was walking her two children. And when she saw me, she just started crying. Her husband had just walked out. No warnings, nothing. And she was grieving. So I think that that's what you're talking about when the physical is still here and it's so out of your control, but just to see her in that moment, just grieving what was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for the mom out there that may be experiencing that type of pain, that Jesus, that's the only word that I could say for that.
Thanks, Rhonda.
Due to some circumstances with a family member, I've had to put boundaries around a relationship that, you know, could be very precious. And it's difficult to have a person that's here that you could have a normal, healthy relationship with that could be a blessing and a gift. But because of, you know, certain behaviors, that's just not possible. And so there's just a grief around that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to understand how people can't get over the things, open up, talk about the things. But sometimes you just have to put that boundary in place and just grieve that relationship.
And that's hard.
It's hard. It's hard.
But I think similar to the grief of a death and the grief of a loss that's physically still here, thankfully we have hope. Right. The kind of hope, not as in wishful thinking hope, but as in confidence.
In Christ, that he can. Because we've talked about this before, you know, God is the only one who can change hearts. Mm-hmm. But still, that's a physical grieving, you know, of not having that relationship in my life that is difficult.
And it is a process that you have to go through to be able to continue on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was divorced 33 years ago now. And it was almost like a physical death. Mm-hmm. Because you're not only it's like grief is an outgrowth of the rejection and the pain and the fear. You know, how am I going to provide for these two babies? And what's tomorrow going to bring? And who am I, not married to this person? That's all I know since I was a young girl.
And I think it's important to be able to grieve that. Same for a child of divorce, grieving the family that was.
Yes.
To be able to move on and accept what is next.
And sometimes the loss of a dream.
Yeah. I think I still grieve that loss.
Yeah. Well, thank you, mentors. Well, Helen, I was so touched by what the mentors had to share about grief.
And grief in multiple areas, not just grieving. You know, we're talking about grieving someone you love. And I think, you know, we talked about there is grief in divorce. There's grief in a scenario where a relationship has changed and you're not going to have that relationship in your life anymore. There's definitely grief in death.
And sickness, like Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's would be another one.
Your brain and that
just an injury
looks different.
A brain injury. There's so many areas where grief is more than just death. I love the fact that when we think about our life in an eternal perspective, that it actually changes the way that we live. My encouragement for the listener is to love well, to live without regret. Not take for granted the relationships that you have in your life and to really practice biblical principles of loving God, loving others and forgiveness and giving grace in relationships. I'd like to sort of remember the verse that comes from 2 Corinthians 4:18 that we fix our eyes not on things that are seen but on the things that are unseen and those are the things that are going to have an eternal life or an eternal perspective.
Well, Helen, we know that we will all experience grief here in the natural. That's inevitable. I know I'm thankful for hope, and I know it has helped me on my own grief journey. If we are able to remind ourselves of real hope, real hope, and what I always like to say, not as in wishful thinking, but as in confidence and without doubt.
And let me close out with prayer, Heather. Lord Jesus, we come to you and ask that you would fill our hearts with love, love for the relationships that you've given us. Help us to be known by that love, that people, when they look at us or think of us, will know that we love well. Help us to live with an eternal perspective where we know that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow and that we need to make the best of everything that you've given us today. Help us to not see things in the temporary, but see things in the eternal. I just ask that you will lead us, speak to us, guide us, comfort us, wrap your arms around us when we're hurting. And may tomorrow we live in the hope that you are God, that all things will work together for good for us who love you. So we just give ourselves to you afresh this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today, Mums. Don't forget to subscribe now at accessmore.com or the new Access More app or wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode on Monday with the Mums and Thursdays with the Mentors. And be sure to uplift another mother this week.